The Brian Callen Show. This is the Brian Callen Show, and I am changing this officially to Man Thoughts with Brian Callen. And I just want to remind people or tell people I'm going to be at the West Palm Beach Improv starting August 2nd. That's this Thursday through this Sunday, August 5th. Tickets at Laugh Stub. And then I'm going to be at the Schaumburg Improv outside of Chicago, August 22nd to the 25th. So come get some. I'm excited because my guest today, how do you say your last name?
Fattarossi.
Fattarossi?
Yes.
It sounds like a mobster's name. Michael Fattarossi is a lawyer who deals exclusively in the pornography business. And
Make it sound so dirty.
I do make it
sound. Adult entertainment.
Well, you've got a silver goatee and you've got a silver mane. That's not even hair. That's a mane. It's like a horsetail just drapes down his back. And we were talking a little bit yesterday, and I found the conversation just in this preliminary stages to be fascinating because you deal in an industry that's basically it's full of outlaws. I mean, to be a porn star, to be even associated with the porn business, and you know this from firsthand experience, you're labeled, you're an outcast, even though it's a multi-billion dollar industry.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And how did you, and you're married, can I say, you're married to a porn star.
Sure.
Vanessa Blue. You've been married to her for how long?
6 years.
And what I really like about Michael is that Vanessa used to date Lexington Steel, if you know anything about the porn business, and I do. Lex's lower extremities would be more at home on a mule than a human being. You think that scared Michael? No, it didn't. How do you say your last name again?
Fattarossi.
I can't. You think that scared Michael Fattarossi, an Italian kid from Jersey? Not on your life. He stepped right up and said, hey, you're coming with me. So you got my utmost respect, my friend.
I like to say that I'm the walking billboard for the anti-penis pill pump generation.
Listen, man, if you got a personality, and if you make money, and you're fun to be around, that's what girls like. I don't give a shit what anybody says.
I love this industry. Like I was telling you, I wake up every day and I pinch myself.
Yeah.
I get letters from lawyers, like just amazed at what I do. I get law students that actually seek me out and want to come work for me. I'm like, I don't work for a big firm. I have my own small firm. And somehow people find me. And I'm like how you found me. I'm just always amazed.
Yeah. And what is your day-to-day is you're around porn stars a lot.
Well, it's not like I wake up in the morning and there's like, you know,
the hot tub's ready, baby.
Yeah, exactly. It's not quite like that.
Yeah.
You know, I get to live with a porn star, so I do wake up every morning with a porn star. But it's not. And see, that's the misconception I think a lot of people have about the industry is that it's just one wild, crazy, drug-fueled sex party 24 hours a day. And it's really not.
Well, nobody has that kind of energy, especially as you get into your 30s and 40s, you know? Well, I mean, some people might, but...
Oh, there's people that do.
Yeah, but it is, having said that, it is still an unconventional choice.
Sure.
And an unconventional lifestyle.
I mean, sure.
You're married to a woman who does that for a living. A lot of guys couldn't handle that. A lot of guys wouldn't accept that. You have to be a certain personality that's willing to not be threatened by her job and also maybe even be a little turned on by it. So, you know.
Actually, I'm not actually. That's the funny part. She actually, right now, she is somewhere out in the desert someplace with another girl, not a guy. And they're out somewhere, Palm Springs, doing photographs in the desert at a nudist colony. And that doesn't threaten me at all. I mean, there's nothing. When you get into this business, you realize there's a huge difference between love and sex. And everybody knows this. You know this. Any guy listening to this knows this.
They know it, but whether they accept that or not, I mean, this.
Well, you can fuck women that you don't, that you're not in love with.
Well, I always say that. I always say to women, if women knew the emotional, like it, for a guy to have sex with just a good looking girl, that if it's just a one night stand or you meet a girl, that's about as emotional as having a good glass of wine. And it's hard for women to understand that a lot of times. I mean,
the difference is the women in this industry, in my industry, do understand that and they feel the same way. Hmm. Literally. And the really funny aspect of my beginning relationship with Vanessa is that she just wanted to fuck me. And I made her wait 3 weeks to have sex with me.
Wow.
And the women in adult have this same mentality as a guy does when it comes towards sex. I can fuck you and, you know, get up and walk out of the room and go about my business.
Yeah.
And not have that emotional attachment.
Yeah.
And that's just a different way of looking at life.
Yeah, well, I also think that there's also something to be said about, you know, I think when you are married to a porn star, you date a porn star, there's got to be that sort of sense of satisfaction where you're the one who actually tamed that beast. You're the one who actually gets that girl to come home to you. So millions of guys are jerking off to her every day in a magazine or in a movie, and she comes home to you at the end of the day.
And it's funny that you say that, and she'd probably kill me if she actually listened to this and heard it. But yes, in a way, there has been a retraction from her career in the sense that she's not really actively performing anymore, nor does she really have a big interest in actively. She did two scenes.
But you said something about that to jump on that. I'm sorry to interrupt because it made a lot of sense. You know, I happen to think that's when women get happy with one man, they tend to be naturally monogamous.
Yes.
It's easier for them. They tend to gravitate to that one man. They want to have children. And you said to me that, you know, one of the things you don't realize is that porn girls, quote unquote, I don't like any of these labels, but porn girls, and I know several, are actually pretty normal, especially as they get older. I mean, you know, you find this to your surprise or to most people's surprise, you're still a human being waking up every day and you got to go through your day-to-day grind. You got to make your relationship work and all that stuff. Right?
If people went on set and watched the behind the scenes of a movie from... not what they show you, but the true behind the scenes, you start to realize that it's probably some of the most clinical sex you'll ever watch. And there's really nobody that's enjoying it on set. Sure, the guy is, but the guy's only going to enjoy it at the pop because for the first 2 hours or hour and a half, he's being told how to have sex. And there's a big difference between sex on set and sex at home. At home, you don't have somebody shouting over your shoulder, okay, give me 5 minutes of doggy. No, not like that. Now stand up. Now get down on your knees. You have to be in this uncomfortable position. And that's what porn is. It's a fantasy.
And there's makeup and people come in. And...
yeah, there's tons of people around and it's clinical. There's no other way to describe it. And so the women that are, you know, I always talk about the pornification of girls. It's like, you know, when you go to college, that first, you know, the freshman 15 or the girl who's never been away from home before, she comes in and she parties and she gets wild and she drinks a whole bunch of beer and she puts on 15 pounds and maybe she doesn't do well in school and either she gets kicked out because her grades fail because she's partying too much or she wises up and she sobers up and she sticks around and finishes out college. And it's the same thing for guys. But in porn, it's the same thing. We get 18, 19, 20-year-old girls that come in. And this is the first time they've been away from home. So they go nuts. They get in with the wrong people. They may do meth. They may do coke. They may do pot. They may drink too much. And eventually what's going to happen is the industry is going to weed you out. And either you're not going to be able to sustain a career and you're going to do a couple of movies and you're going to drop out and you're going to go back to being a barista at Starbucks, or you're going to wise up and go, wait a minute, I'm actually kind of popular. I can actually make a living out of this. And then you stop doing all those things. And then you go on to your second and third, fourth years of your career.
That's what's so interesting to me, that even in sex, even in porn, you've got to take it seriously and you got to be a pro. And what that means, actually, the irony is that that's another way of saying you've got to be strategic and you've got to have self-control.
Yes.
So even though you're fucking on film and people, you know, and it's considered the exact opposite of everything you've been taught, and to excel at that career, you've got to have a lot of self-control. You can't wreck your body. You're not going to look as good. You can't piss people off. You can't come to set high on meth, etc.
Yeah, and that's the other thing most people don't realize is that when the girls come to set, they're not drunk. They're not high on something.
Right.
They're not, because they can't do the job.
Right.
And they'll get kicked off set if there are too many
girls who are pros.
Exactly. And so for a girl to have a long career, and Vanessa's been here for 15, 16 years, in order to do that, you have to treat it like a career. Like in those 15 or 16 years, she's only shot, believe it or not, about 150 scenes. That's 10 per year.
Wow.
And the girls that get to stick around longer are the ones that don't shoot and overexpose themselves. I mean, porn is our fantasy. And we all have to fuck the same woman night after night. And porn is where we get to experience the variety. And if a girl gets too shot out, then she loses her appeal because you want to move on to the next girl. You're bored and tired of her, and you move on to the next one.
Although, but some girls, and I'm thinking of Jenna Hayes, I'm thinking of Belladonna, some girls are somehow able to sustain. And my philosophy on that is because when you watch them, you actually believe that they're enjoying it. it's almost like they like their work.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
You can tell when girls are faking, and I think that there's a sincerity, and certain women are just sexual animals.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the giants. Those are the ones that we talk about, whether it's Jenna Jameson. Or, now, whether that's just because they're intense people, I don't know.
Well,
but
I think anything that makes a good performer, whether it's a comedian, it's a porn star, it's an actor, it's a football player, basketball player, it's getting into that zone for that moment that you're there. When you walk out into that court, when you walk out into the field, when you stand on that stage, when that girl or guy gets onto the set, they have to enter that zone, and that's where you see the performance come out. And that's why women like Belladonna and Jenna Hayes and Vanessa Blue and Gianna Michaels, all these girls have long careers because it's an on and off switch. And they turn it on and they give you the performance that you want to see, and then they turn it off and they go home. And see, that's the thing. They're performing for the camera. They know the camera's on. They know their job is to entice and titillate the person who's watching the movie. That's a professional. Mm-hmm. No different than what you do when you get up on stage.
Right.
You got to bring your A game. Yeah. Like we talked about when you go to Jersey, you got to bring your A game. And yeah. When you do this, you got to bring your A game.
Yeah. And especially because it's such there's so much money in porn. The no. Well, it's a huge industry, I should say, isn't it?
It is a huge industry, but it is an industry of exploitation.
Well, now we get into the negatives of pornography. I mean, look, you and I grew up...
But that's entertainment, though. It's not just pornography. The only difference between porn and mainstream is they don't pay royalties in porn. But, I mean, let's be honest. Entertainment, mainstream entertainment, is just as exploitive as pornography is.
Well, but there is a question about, I don't want my daughter, for example, doing porn, right? Even though I watch
it. Why not?
It's like, even though I watch it, I always say that my joke in stand-up is like, I don't want my daughter dating a guy like me. I just want somebody with low blood sugar who sips tea and owns cats. You know, and I mean, no jujitsu ears and no, you know, I mean, and this, therein lies the rub. But I, you know, we're all hypocrites to some extent. You know, the porn star is not allowed in polite company, nor is the porn director. Yet you scumbags watch it and jerk off at your laptop, and that's where I've always had a problem. And I never do that. You know, if you're my friend, you're my friend. Like Stoney Curtis is my buddy; he's a porn mm-hmm. director. I'll bring him around anybody I know
because you understand that they're people.
Well, because they're people, and if I'm going to watch his product, then I have no business criticizing it. You know, and I mm-hmm. also happen to think that people that do criticize porn, I understand where they're coming from. I understand the notion of, well, traditional family values and pornography has a dark side. It can create an addiction. I can get all that.
Oh,
we'll talk about that.
Yeah. Okay.
And you disagree, and I love
yes.
it. I love it. But there, I'm saying there is an argument that can be made for why obscenity is quote unquote bad for society. You can make that argument. However, there's another side to that, which is, in my opinion, the notion that if you keep this stuff under wraps, if you keep this stuff bottled up, it's going to find its way through some other way.
Sure.
Like with everything. But talk a little bit about that, because I know you have strong views on you know, if I were to say to you, pornography is bad, and there are a lot of people that would agree with me. I certainly couldn't. I couldn't campaign in this country as a president and say pornography should be legal in all states.
No, you couldn't. And we don't get much support in the way of politicians. I'm not aware of any politician that's ever said, you know, hooray, porn, I'm going to be soft on porn.
No, but they do talk about freedom of expression. I mean,
they do.
So,
they do, but they don't really go that far.
No.
Yeah, I mean, porn, when you say bad, anything is bad. I mean, I'm sitting next to a lamp. I can pick you up and bash you over the head with it. That mm-hmm. doesn't make the lamp bad. It's how you use something that defines whether or not it's good or bad. I mean, I can tell you there's a statue sitting in my living room, hand-carved, very elegant. I wish I could tell you what wood it was made out of. And it was sent to Vanessa by a couple who could not conceive. And not that it has anything probably to do with her movie, but they conceived their first child to one of her movies, one of the movies that she directed. And I think she probably starred in it too. And they tried and tried and tried. And finally, they did. And not only did they conceive once, but they conceived twice while watching one of her movies. And they sent her as a thank you gift this hand-carved, beautiful statue, which resembles her. Okay,
okay.
It's actually pretty classy. I actually like it. There are a lot of people in that particular situation, not necessarily conception, but, you know, guys who may not otherwise have the ability to have intimacy with women, that may use porn as a masturbatory tool to feel fulfilled. I think porn actually does a lot of good in the world, and it's how you use it that can lead to bad things.
And give me an example of how you think it can be used to lead to bad things.
Well, I mean, anytime somebody overuses something, I mean, if you're sitting around and you're watching porn 24 hours a day in your mom's basement, you're not working.
It's a glass of wine versus a case of wine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I don't see porn as being an addiction. I see that there are people who have addictive personalities, and you can become addicted to just about anything.
That's true.
And so porn is just a way of them fulfilling that addictive personality. It's like the guy. It's like going to AA meetings. Everybody's outside drinking coffee and smoking cigarettes. Like, don't drink alcohol, but go outside and fill up on caffeine and nicotine.
And
that's
sticks.
Okay. And cancer sticks.
Exactly.
So therefore, you know, if you have an addictive personality, you're going to find something to be addicted to.
Right.
I mean, it's like saying Batman caused what happened in Colorado. It didn't. And just like porn doesn't cause rape, porn doesn't cause the breakup of marriages. If you're a woman and you're listening to this and you're thinking to yourself, my God, I have to break up with my husband because he watches porn, your marriage has other problems in it besides him watching porn.
Damn right. Amen
exactly.
on that. There's no question.
That's so, but everybody wants something to blame. And porn is easy to blame for society's ills. You know, you can say, well, you know, we've had a breakdown of the moral fabric of the society. We've had a coming apart of marriages. There's more divorces. There's more kids being raised in single-parent households. Do you think any of that has to do with internet porn? No.
But you could maybe make the argument that internet porn is a product of a society whose values have been debased. I mean, that would certainly be the argument by somebody on the other side of this coin.
And see, that's an important aspect, is that whose values have been debased? Are we talking about majority rule, or are we talking about the minority rule? And this country was founded upon minorities, not upon majority. And that's why we have the First Amendment, from a standpoint of, as disgusting as the speech may be, as vile as it is, that is the speech that requires the most protection, not the least amount of protection. If it's popular speech, you don't need the First Amendment.
That's right.
So it's though, and people often say to me, well, you know, the founding fathers never thought about porn, and that wasn't, you know, around back then. I say bullshit. Porn's been around for hundreds of years. And guys have been looking at naked women for hundreds of years.
Well, you said it. I think that the first time somebody drew a picture of a naked woman.
Or created a little statue.
Yeah.
You know, this goes back to, you know, before recorded time.
You can see in some certain Hindu, you know, scriptures and the Bhagavad, not the Bhagavad Gita, but the Kama Sutra and stuff. I mean, there were plenty of pictures of all different kinds of, you know.
There's naked women on the top of the Sistine Chapel.
That's right.
You know, this is not new.
It's not new.
Pictures of naked women are by no means new, and it's always been some type of scandal when this happens.
Well, I remember when the Supreme Court came up with the notion of what is obscenity, what is porn, and trying to come up with the definition was difficult. But one, I think it was, I can't remember who the justice was.
Potter.
I don't know who is it.
Potter.
Who said? I don't know how to I don't know how to describe it. I know it when I see it.
Exactly.
You know. But therein lies the rub. I mean, you're right. In this country, one of the great things about this country is you can be a Larry Flint, you can make a lot of money. And my thing is, I've always been a libertarian. I've always just believed in maximum personal liberty. Allow people to make their own choices. When it comes to children, very different situation. You protect children, in my opinion, from certain things, but there are laws on the books for that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But what I think is very important is allowing individuals, adults, to make their own choices. If people want to pay for pornography, if they want to pay for sex, then let them make that choice, man. Which I've always been amazed that prostitution is still illegal. And explain some of the differences here, because we were talking about, I think you said California and New Hampshire, the only places where pornography is legal.
Yes.
Everywhere else it is illegal.
Yes.
Mainly because the argument hasn't come up to the Supreme Court. There just hasn't been a fight for the right to shoot films there. However, we know that porn is shot all over the country,
yes,
especially in Florida.
And people get busted for shooting it.
They get busted.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
What happens when you are with a prostitute, for example? What is the difference? I'm paying a woman to have sex with me. The cops come in, but guess what? There's a camera on. I could say to them, I'm shooting porn and I'm in California, right? Mm-hmm. And could I get away with that?
No, because there's a case in California that went to the California Supreme Court, and cert was denied by the United States Supreme Court. They did not want to address this issue on a national level. And what that case basically stands for is the fact that Hal Freeman was a porn producer in Los Angeles who was busted, and he was charged with prostitution-related offenses. And he challenged it and said, well, wait a minute. I'm not paying for sex. I'm paying these people to have sex as I film it. And the California Supreme Court came down and said, yeah, you're right. You're not receiving sexual gratification from the payment of money to two other people to have sex on film for commercial distribution. This we are going to protect as a First Amendment right.
Amazing.
And that's what defines pornography from prostitution. The fact of the matter is that the person who's paying for it is not receiving the sexual gratification, and the fact that it's being filmed for commercial distribution.
However, if I am paying for it for personal gratification, I go to jail. Why? That's ridiculous.
Because are you saying as a consumer you're paying for it?
Well, I mean, you told me that if I do POV.
Okay.
I'm technically breaking the law.
Yes.
Because I'm paying someone to gratify my own personage, own person. And the distinction is if I'm paying two people to have sex and I'm just filming it to sell it and make money, that's legal. However, I'm not allowed to shoot somebody having sex with me.
Mm-hmm.
At least I'm not allowed to pay them for it. It's really when it becomes a commercial exchange. Why?
I don't know if it makes sense to anyone out there, but it's based upon the commercial aspect of it.
But you when you describe it, you can see how ridiculous the law is.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it goes back to the notion of white slavery laws, you know, those things where women are being forced into brothels and made to be, you know,
the
on
Mann
drugs.
Act.
And
the Mann Act.
It's called the Mann Act?
Yes. That's taking a woman across state lines for immoral purposes, which is usually prostitution. Yes, exactly. We've all done that.
I mean, it's called Vegas, baby. Yeah. I mean, come on.
Exactly. So there's still a lot of antiquated laws that are on the books that are not being enforced, obviously.
What happens to you if you get caught with a prostitute in this in California?
In California? Usually it's just a misdemeanor.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just a slap on the wrist. Now, if you're doing it in your car, they're going to impound your car and seize it from you.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
And is that if you're actually buying sex, not if you're having sex with your girlfriend or your wife? But
no, well, if you're having sex with your girlfriend or your wife in public, then you could end up indecent in public, which can lead to being a registered sex offender.
You're kidding me.
Nope. California has one of those laws that if you're doing something in public that you should be doing in private, you're probably doing it in order to show off to somebody, and we then consider you a sex offender, and we make you register.
That then is a monkey there. That then is probably when you need a good lawyer.
Yes. Well, I mean, Fred Willard could have been charged with that.
Yeah.
But they gave him intervention early off, and so he, you know, is not going to serve any time.
That's so embarrassing.
But, though. Yeah, I mean, why is jerking off embarrassing?
No, I mean, to be caught that way and then just have it all...
Who hasn't been caught jerking off?
Well, yeah, exactly. That's true. Listen, I'm very careful. I lock all my doors.
Yeah, but when you were 13, maybe you got caught by your mother. I don't know.
Exactly. That's the worst.
It's an interesting conversation to have.
It is. Let's talk for a second about the future of porn. Where is that? Where are we headed?
Teledildonics is the future of porn. And it's the future of relationships. It's the future of sex. You have a little peanut. There's a company out there called AEBN, and they Adult Entertainment Broadcast Network or something like that. And they have a website called RealTouchInteractive.com. And what it is you have this peanut-shaped device that has sort of like what looks like two belt sanders on the inside of it, and it's got gears and pulleys and levers, and you put your penis in there, believe
it
or not.
It's kind of sounds very painful.
No, it's not. Okay. I haven't tried it out there, but I've put my fingers into it
just
and it actually
fingers,
feels
yeah.
And On the other side of the world, on some cam site, or there's a porn star or a cam girl or even your wife, she has a dildo which has sensors in it. So whenever she squeezes, this thing on your dick squeezes, if she goes in an up and down motion, it goes up in an up and down motion. So you can literally have virtual sex with somebody. It is going to be a reality within the next year that you can sit there cam with a girl and never touch your hands, and she's going to perform whatever sex act that you want. For a price, obviously, over the internet, and you'll be able to have anal sex with your favorite porn star. You'll be able to have a blowjob from your favorite porn star, and if you prefer amateur girls, some 19-year-old college girl from Saginaw, Michigan, she'll be on cam doing whatever you want her to do.
So a girl can send herself through college just by buying one of those funky devices.
Oh my God, the amount of money girls are going to make! Like, people don't realize there are girls on cam right now. Right now, that are making $60,000 a month.
60 grand a month.
60 grand a month.
Because they get just a clientele or something?
They just get a clientele. It's the new stripping. It's what it really is. I mean, guys want to, you can go to a strip bar and you can get a lap dance, okay? Yeah, granted, maybe you can touch the girl, you can smell her hair, she can push her boobs up against you, but that's all you're going to do.
That's all you're going to get.
At home, you can have this one-on-one video conference with her where you can actually get off and she can get off.
And develop a relationship.
And that's what these guys are doing. And that's because... Because
they're looking for intimacy.
Yes.
I mean, like you said before, you were talking about, we're going to have Google TV allow you to jerk off instead of your laptop on a 72-inch screen. Mm-hmm. You're going to have holograms. But really, when you start talking about this one-on-one webcam experience, you're talking about intimacy. You're talking about something that I always say is a very rare thing in the world, and that is intimacy. It's the ability to connect with another human being.
Yes.
May be theatrical, it may be fake, but that, I think, is why
aren't
some
most
porn
marriages,
stars make so much money. What's that?
Don't you just look at your wife and tell your lover sometimes and you just really don't like her?
Yeah,
exactly.
You just don't.
I love you, baby.
Some days you're the right girl, and other days you're the wrong girl. Boy, marriage is a verb.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's going to be theatrical, but these guys are going to create these relationships. And these women are going to create the relationships with the guys,
too. I can
just
see the couples counseling that's going to come out of this, man. Oh. He's got this girlfriend in Eastern Europe. He's never met her, but it's his cyber girlfriend, and he likes her more than he likes me.
Dude, I have a guy that I know that runs cam studios at a Columbia, okay? Literally, he tells me that guys will hop flights to Colombia to try to find these girls in person in Colombia because they've fallen so in love with them.
Wow.
It becomes a real relationship. Yes, when you
throw... Well, in a way, if you think about it...
It is.
It is a real relationship.
And now when you throw actual sex, when you throw the ability for that girl to take that dildo and put it in her mouth and give it a virtual blowjob, and you get off on the other side, then you now have all the components of a real relationship.
You're having a real relationship.
You're having a real. You're paying $10 a minute for it, but you're having a real
That's
relationship.
A lot of money, $10 a minute.
Well, think about how much your relationship costs.
That's true. You, man, when you're in a real relationship, you got to buy a
house.
You
got
furniture.
Buy cars, exactly.
Furniture. Oh shit! I never thought. Hey man, here's the notion: rent, get into cyber porn. It's a lot cheaper than marriage.
And it's gonna allow people to make a lot of money. I do a seminar. I represent a show called Exotica. We do shows in New Jersey, Miami, and Chicago. And I do a Breaking Into the Business seminar. And what I talk about is now is a time for people to break into the business like never before. Now is an entry level. You can get in as a cam girl. You can start a Twitter page. You can start a Facebook page. You can create this online persona. You can have a second bedroom in your house where you set up a camera. And you can literally make a G to two Gs a week just working from your home if you're a cute 18 to 30, 40-year-old woman. Even if you're a BBW. I know girls big, beautiful women. The big girls?
Oh, the big girls.
The big girls, Cam.
There's a market.
There's a market for everything.
Look, with comedy, it's the same thing. You develop a niche market, and porn is the same way. If there's anything that's niche-oriented, it's the sex market.
Yes.
People have niche. Yeah,
it's
people
all
have
niche.
Their fetishes. They have their weirdness, and there's a marketplace for everything.
And what people don't even realize is, like, custom videos. People don't realize that there is a whole group of guys out there that order what are called custom videos. They are such a niche that – they can't even get off on the porn that's being commercially made. They need to write out the script. They need to send in the clothes. And they contract with porn stars to do these private videos where they say their names.
Man.
Yes.
I thought I thought watching RedTube once in a while turned me into a pervert.
No.
That's impressive,
dude,
man.
I've had clients of mine, porn stars, that have been involved with very wealthy guys who, you know, they're not even showing up on set. This is not even a guy that shows up and gets off by being around. But they will hire a director. They will tell the director what they want done. It's a private porn production.
Incredible.
And it's $20,000.
Yeah.
They'll spend $20,000 on a personal jerk-off video.
Just to watch their own fantasy.
Just to watch their own fantasy. And there's a whole group of, I mean, it's not like one or two guys. There's a lot of guys. And girls nowadays, you can get. I mean, if you really want your favorite star to do something and say your name in it, that's easy. You can usually contact them on Twitter and they'll do it. It's $500, $1,000, $2,000. But there's a group of guys out there that are dedicated porn fans that buy this stuff.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about the fact that there's a group of women that are dedicated porn. And you talk a little bit about your client James Dean.
Yes.
Who gets letters from girls who inviting him to their prom.
Yes.
So James Dean, who's this porn star, has been in the business 8 years. He's a cutie pie. I've seen pictures. He's a good-looking kid. And he gets letters from high school girls inviting. I mean, now what does that say? If my daughter invites a porn star to her prom, I'm going to freak the fuck out.
ABC Nightline did a whole episode on him just on this fact that there are teenagers. Not
teenagers. I can't teenagers. Take it. Ladies and gentlemen, porn has gone mainstream. Mm-hmm. You got teenagers, like believers.
Yes.
Teenagers.
He has a group of girls out there that, you know, for one reason or another, their parents, and I'm going to blame the parents, are not watching what their children are doing online.
Yeah.
A lot of, and this is a whole different discussion about, you know, free porn on the internet. They're not watching what their daughters are doing, and they're going to these sites, and they're finding him, and they're watching his movies, and they're becoming fans at an early age. Does he like that? No. Do I like that? No. Does anybody in the adult industry like that? Absolutely not. Yeah. We do not produce product for anyone under the age of 18. Do parents not pay attention to what their kids are doing and what they're watching online? Absolutely. Parents are fucking lazy, and they won't put safeguards on their computers. It's so easy now that if you have a computer downstairs and your kid has a laptop, is to be able to at any moment just jump onto your kid's computer.
They can also do it on their phone. They can also go. They can go to their friend's phone. They can go to their friend's house. This raises a very, very big question. And I want to talk just before we get into that about why there are teenagers. Because, and I, you know, look, apparently James Dean is a gentleman, and then he gets you in the bedroom and pulls your hair, and it turns into a scene from 50 Shades of Grey.
Exactly.
So he's a gentleman in society and an animal in the bedroom, kind of like you're a lady in public and a whore in the bedroom.
Women are no different than men. And that's a fact of life. Guys, we want the lady in front of all of our friends, and then in the bedroom we want them inviting over their friends, take it in the ass, come on my face, slap me around. Girls don't, and women don't want anything different. I hate to say this, and I hope you don't get any bad vibes for this or bad.
It's all about the truth.
But I mean, the reason why 50 Shades of Grey is so popular is because there is almost a domination or a rape fantasy that a lot of women have.
Yes.
And he is an embodiment of that, the way James does his scenes. He's very aggressive in his scenes with women, and women love that.
Right.
They like that nice next-door boy type of image who happens to be that type of guy in the bedroom, and that's why he's doing well. And that's why women literally will throw their panties at him.
One of the things that I want to touch on is that this brings up, you know, children. I have children, so I always worry about this, but...
You have children, really?
I believe it or not, and I don't know if they're all over the place. But you know, one of the things about children is that there is that worry that they're going to be exposed to this stuff before they're ready. They're going to be exposed to this stuff without having context or perspective for it. And one of the things that they found, at least according to some studies, is young boys, teenage boys, are bored with sex. What's happening is the girls are watching, the boys are watching it. The girls are giving the men what they need. But see, when I was growing up, you know, I'm 2 years older than you. So when I was growing up, it was a naked girl, man. I wasn't looking for any imperfections. I was like, holy shit, you're naked. I didn't know if your waist was small, or I was just like,
and I bet
tits.
You're still like that.
I sure am.
Exactly.
I
I'm
sure
still
am.
Like that, too.
I'm an equal opportunity employer. You don't have to be perfect for me, man. You talk about a five versus an eight. I'm very happy. They call me the top of the fives.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is that seems to be, according to some studies, changing because boys are able to get their fantasy, their linear fantasy, in Technicolor.
Yes.
And in real time. And it's making boys bored with sex, apparently, or they're moving from girl to girl, and girls are trying to keep up. And so they're playing a character. They're doing these perverted things that they see on the internet. And it's I guess, maybe creating a sort of a dulling or a numbing of our youth. I don't believe that, by the way.
Well, I actually blame Bill Clinton for that.
Bill, you bastard.
I don't know if you remember this, but after the whole Monica Lewinsky, Bill Clinton, you know, the oral sex thing, like, I talked to women, blowjobs became like handshakes to girls. Like, blowjob, that's not sex. And I remember being in high school, and literally you had to beg, plead, borrow, anything.
Oh my God.
I'll take you to the prom, just blow me. Just
I've
please
had girls
blow
say
me.
That to me. I've had girls like give me blowjobs and be like, that didn't count.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? you're all right, sister.
Exactly. And now blowjobs are not that big of a deal. So I think that all starts with the mainstreaming of that in media going back to Bill Clinton. Huh. But I do, I mean, if you want to talk about societal ill that porn may be causing, I do agree with you there that the exposure of children to online porn is by no means a good thing.
Right.
Okay. Do I think they're going to turn into rapists and murderers and Aurora, Colorado mass murderers? No, that doesn't cause that.
No.
Are they going to be good, productive members of society? Sure. But will they have unfulfilling sex lives with their wives? Probably.
Yeah.
But who doesn't? Seriously, come on. Let's think of it. Are we really meant to be monogamous?
Well, that's a huge question. I'm actually writing about that now.
I mean, the whole idea of the 7-year itch is a biochemical reaction because we have to stick around for 7 years to know that our genes have been passed off. The child's got to a certain age where we think that the chances of our genes going on are pretty good at 7 years.
Sure.
So at that point, we go on and make more children so we can give ourselves, and we stick around for 7 years.
Right.
So are we serial monogamous? Sure. But are we meant to be complete monogamous? Absolutely not.
Right.
Okay. So what you're doing is creating a relationship with these people who are going to grow into that they're going to mature. And some people will hang on to those teenage idiotic ideas of what sex should be. And there are people that will grow up and mature and realize that sex with a partner that you're in love with is much better and will always be better than sex with some stranger that you meet when you deliver a pizza.
Right.
You know,
right.
I think
I think you're right. I think that we have nostalgia to connect. I mean, human beings need to connect. That's a human need. We need to connect, and human beings need to find intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that yes, there's going to be a lot of distraction out there, and you could call porn a distraction from that in some ways. But, and we've also talked about how it could also add to intimacy. But for the most part, let's just say it's a distraction. I don't think it's going to keep people from finding intimacy somehow. Because you do. You find intimacy in a fucking foxhole. You find intimacy in a war-torn country. You find intimacy in you know, we're very good at doing that if you know where to look.
Exactly.
But talk for a second about, you had mentioned when we were on the phone the other day about your wife gets letters from teenage boys.
Yes. Yes.
Talk about that for a second.
It doesn't happen a lot, but it's happened on occasion where she'll get a letter from a teenage boy, or she'll get an email or something, or a Facebook, where a teenage boy, 13, 14, 15 years old, will be worried about penis size. Okay. And this is something that we as an industry have definitely done to men, not just boys, men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether they're 50 or they're 15, every guy's worried about is his dick big enough. Okay. And, you know, they don't really understand. And this is the sad part. They don't really understand a woman's vagina. Because if you really understood a woman's vagina, you'd realize that there's a reason why the average size is 5 to 7 inches. It's because that's what's going to fit best into a vagina.
Yeah.
If a vagina was meant to hold 8 to 9 inches, we would all have 8 to 9 inches.
Right.
Okay. So when you look at the bell curve and you see what's the average, you know, evolution is created an average for a reason. Huh. And
you hear that, guys? This is very enlightening. This is
I'm
tired of having to draw a line on my dick. This 10 inches is killing me.
And that's the thing, is what people see in porn is not real. The girls, you know, and are there size queens in porn? Absolutely, there's size queens. There's size queens in life. There's, you know, the guys, the bigger the boob, the better. Okay,
right.
I happen to be with a woman that has G cups. Do I like big boobs? Absolutely. If I didn't like big boobs, I wouldn't be with somebody who had G cups. But the fact of the matter is, when it comes to size, if you talk to most porn stars, okay, and you talk to them away from the camera and your friends, they'll go, no, give me somebody who's normal.
Right.
I don't want, you know, I got to deal with that on set. And what they all say to me is the same thing. You just feel full. That's what you
just
feel.
Full.
You just feel full. You don't really, it's not any better. It's not any more satisfying. You just feel full.
Right.
And, you know, it's
well, come on. I mean, listen, women have sex for so many reasons. And the last reason in a lot of ways is the physical. I mean,
They can enjoy it,
but I'm just saying that.
The best expression, I think, was that actually came from my wife. Okay. Mm-hmm. She said to me, and I believe this to be fully true, a big penis is like an amusement park. You don't mind going to visit, but you wouldn't want to live there. Okay?
Holy shit. That is the great. I got to write that down. I'm going to tweet that. That's fucking beautiful.
And I know a lot of women who feel the same way. Like, yeah, that's fun to play with once in a while, blah, blah, blah. But you don't want to go home every night to a guy with a 10, 11, 9-inch penis, because all it's going to do is pound your cervix.
And give you a yeast infection.
Yeah. I mean, most of the girls that I know in the business don't. I mean, they're on set and they're doing what they have to do for work, but they're not there because they crave huge cocks.
Right.
They crave a paycheck.
Would you say, though, that the majority of porn girls or women in the sex industry are at least half a nympho?
You know, it's difficult when you say nympho. What I will say is the women have a men's mentality towards sex.
Mm.
They can fuck you and walk away.
Right.
And they're not having to have this emotional connection with you in order to have sex.
Right.
And so that is very threatening to men, that a woman could have sex with him and just walk away.
Well, it's what I was talking about. I mean, it sounds to me like you have a platform now where women can express themselves honestly. Of course that's going to be threatening, because men are no longer in control. And the one thing that I notice about porn is women are in control. A lot
more
of
and more.
More
and more.
More
and more.
As exploitive as it may be, In today's world, you got a lot of girls getting into porn because they're seeing the Jenna Hayes and the Jenna Jameson, and they're making money.
I'm actually amazed how many letters and emails and when I do these shows for Exotica, how many women come up to me and say, you know, I really want to get into the business. Can you help me get into the business?
Wow.
I've got guys bringing me, like I got a guy out of Florida who is bringing me his, you know, 30-some-odd-year-old wife, who absolutely gorgeous, okay, bodied to die for, and she wants to do porn. She's a cam girl, and now she's looking to do porn. And so I'm shocked. I mean, like you talk about, you know, like we're outlaws and we're outcast. I'm shocked that the number of people that are like, I want to do porn is dramatically on the rise.
Well, because first of all, they see that you can make money, and most people are living shitty, boring, unfulfilled lives. I mean, what would you rather do? Work in a factory? You ever worked in a factory? I worked at McDonald's, man. I'd rather die. Okay, I worked at McDonald's for a summer, and I did construction for a summer. I'll take fucking over that shit any day, because you're not making any money.
No.
And it's you want to talk about hard on your body. Yeah, you might get chlamydia or gonorrhea, but try digging ditches in the summer.
Dude,
in Washington, D.C. sometime.
I used to unload trucks for a summer in college for a warehouse. It was the worst job ever.
That's enough to get you to go back to school.
Yeah,
my kid doesn't want to go to school. He's going to do manual labor for one summer.
That's exactly what my father did with me.
Yeah.
Because he never went to college. He was a truck driver. He goes, I want you to know what my life is like. I got you a job in a warehouse. You go load and unload trucks for the summertime. And by the time I was done, I did the job.
Yeah.
I mean, I worked 12, 15-hour days, and he had a lot of respect for me by the time I was done with the summer. But I said, I'm never going to think about not going to school.
Yeah.
And see, it's funny because it's sad, because the guys who are in the industry, and if any of the guys are listening, I'm really sorry. It's just a fact. They sometimes have bigger vaginas than the women. Okay? I've never heard a group of guys complain more about their fucking job than male porn stars. Okay.
Wow.
And I just want to look at him and find something that's laying around and just smack him upside the head and be like, go dig a fucking ditch.
Right.
You fuck women for a living and get paid for it. Stop complaining.
Yeah.
And guys will complain. They're like, oh, my knees hurt and the gravel and, you know, I wasn't comfortable and I couldn't pop and, you know, that girl smelled and that girl, you know, I'm not really into that type of girl. Like, really?
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up.
I've actually said that. I looked at a guy, and he was just complaining. I go, listen, what do you do for a living? He goes, I make movies. I go, no. What do you do for a living? I fuck. Who do you fuck? I fuck girls. Yeah, shut up. Go dig a ditch if you don't like it.
Porn stars, really good-looking
chicks. Yeah, exactly.
So,
yeah,
exactly. Do something. It's all about perspective.
Yeah, the interesting thing is most guys that are listening to this, if you've hung around this long, I'll give you a little secret. Most guys in the business are probably bisexual.
Is that right?
Think about it. You watch porn.
Yeah.
You ever see a double blowjob scene?
Yeah.
What does a double blowjob scene require?
Touching dicks.
Exactly.
Ah!
I do this seminar, and there's a bunch of guys that come to the seminar. I go, who wants to be a male porn star? And everybody's hand goes up. And I go, okay. Out of the guys whose hands are up, who's bisexual? And almost every hand goes down. There's like one guy, and I'm like, you can be a male porn star. And you're like, what? What? It's not, I don't want to do gay porn. I'm like, no, it's not gay porn. It's what we call forced buy, okay? Like, if you ever watch a double.
Forced to buy?
Forced buy. Well, think about it,
forced
dude.
Forced buy, yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Look, if my dick is touching another guy's dick, but it's in a vagina, I'm going to let it go. If it's when I'm making out with a guy or he's banging me from
behind. Well, wait a minute. You said you're going to let it go, but mentally, okay, you have to be okay with that.
That's right. I got to keep it hard. That's true.
You
got to
keep it hard.
Oh, that's true.
Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, you can tell yourself as you're sitting here, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, you're right.
But your penis may not be okay with it.
Right.
And if you're doing a double blowjob scene, every double blowjob scene is the same thing. The girl's sitting there, and she's got one dick in one hand, one dick in the other, and she's going back and forth. And at some point, the director does the hand signal to bring the dicks and rub them together. So she brings them together, and then she rubs the heads together. And then she puts both of them into her mouth at the same time. If you're not, and this is what I tell guys, if you're not comfortable with having your dick rubbed up against another,
he's got to be a good friend, man. He's got to be a good fucking
friend. Or somebody you don't ever want to see again.
Yeah, well, either one. But, you know, listen, you never know. Give me a couple of drinks.
But there's not a lot of guys that could do that. And that's why I tell people, you see the same people over and over again because there's not a lot of guys that can do that.
That's for sure. It's not easy to get it up in front of a whole group of people and bang for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no question about that. Do you deal, would you say, just as a lawyer, and I know we have to wrap this up soon, but would you say that, you know, is there a criminal element in porn? I mean, do you ever have to bail people out? Are they violent? Is there fights? Or is it like anything else?
Once in a while. I mean, it's like any other industry. You're going to have your criminals, you're going to have your upstanding people, and you're going
to
have your middle of the road
people. It used to be all mob run. Porn, wasn't it?
Oh, you're talking about the 70s.
Yeah. And now it's all corporate.
I wouldn't say it's corporate, but it's not mob. I mean,
it's just business.
It's mom and pop. Until Manwin came along, it was mom and pop.
Mm.
One of my friends is a guy in the business, or he's not in the business, but he's kind of in the business. His parents owned a studio called Cinderella, who used to be one of the biggest studios back in the 60s and back in the 70s and 80s and 90s. And so, you know, there's generations of people in porn. We call them second generation. And, you know, it's still a mom-and-pop enterprise for the most part. It's small business owners. It's people that are struggling to make money. You know, right now
Who's
we're dealing...
Who's making money in porn? Now, where is the money? Is it in producing?
No.
Is it in directing? Is it in acting?
Campsites. Those campsites where you cam one-on-one with girls,
okay.
They're making shitloads of money. Now, right now, we're dealing with something in the L.A. industry about this condom mandate, which may force us to move to Las Vegas.
Because L.A. Wants you to use condoms.
L.A. County. Right now, there's an ordinance in L.A. City that says in order to get a film permit, you have to use condoms.
By the way, just quickly as a libertarian, there's the government again. A group of people on a panel who decide they want to protect people they've never met against decisions because we can't make our own decisions.
Yeah, we can't. No.
Yeah, of course not. So they're going to make us wear condoms. Thanks for making the world safer, politicians and you fucking bureaucrats.
Well, it gets even worse than that. Now there's a vote coming up in November. L.A. County is trying to force condoms. Right now it's just city. It's going to go county-wise. And what they're trying to do is put it on the ballot. It's on the ballot already for November's election. And this law reaches so far. It reaches into the bedroom of a married monogamous couple who isn't in the industry. Like we've talked about cam sites. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of cam sites where couples that are free and open will do sex together. Yeah. They'll have online.
And they're gonna make you wear a condom in your own house.
In your own house with your own wife.
That's what government does. That's what happens with government. Yeah. That's what happens. It's called a Leviathan.
Yeah.
Whenever you pass a law, government is a coercive force.
Yes.
It taxes and it legislates.
Mm-hmm.
And government will do everything they can, including legislate your own good health. They'll come into your bedroom and say, you got to put a condom on, just like they did with sodomy laws back in the day.
And guess what happens if you don't have a condom on?
What?
You go to jail.
There you go.
Can you imagine this? You fucked your wife on camera.
I can't imagine it because it happened in one degree or another in the Soviet Union, in Mao's China, in Stalin's Russia. I can't imagine it. It's been the way it is. Human beings have always tried to have power over other people.
Mm-hmm.
What made this country different, and what we were talking about the founding fathers, was that it gave people the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Notice how general that is, the pursuit of happiness, meaning whatever I choose to be happy, the pursuit of happiness. I'm pursuing happiness, not even happiness, but if it means I want to eat celery all day and that's my pursuit, I should be allowed to.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as you create these government mandates and these government agencies that are out there to protect us from ourselves,
yeah.
There is no end to that.
No.
And that's why people like you are very much needed. That's why people like you, lawyers like you, make the world in a lot of ways a much safer, better, and freer place.
Well, we are definitely trying to fight this condom mandate. I mean, it's just, I understand their point. They want to see performers protected. And there are ways that you can do this without legislating condoms.
First of all, you can
require more frequent testing for sexually transmitted diseases.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there are less restrictive means, less imposition on free speech. But what's amazing about this is that we have a town that is primarily Hispanic, that is primarily Catholic.
Yes,
and we now have a law being passed by a primarily Hispanic mayor and city council that is forcing forced contraception.
It's Catholicism. It's actually Catholicism. It's actually a you're right. I mean, if you look at the parental boards on different schools around mm-hmm. this country, a lot of them are heavily Hispanic, heavily Catholic. Conservative by nature.
But you would think that this is the one thing that they would not want. Catholicism teaches no condoms, no birth control.
Well, but it's also strong on family values. It's strong on traditional conservative values. Mm. And it is something to be contended with. And I have no problem with conservative values. I have no problem with Catholic values as long as you keep them to yourself.
Exactly.
Stop trying to impose them on fucking me.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I'll be out in the street and that's when I'll fight you tooth and nail, because that is not the American way. That may be the Catholic way. That may be the Christian way. That may be the Muslim way. But I believe in the American way. I believe in the Constitution. That is the fundamental difference. That's why, once again, people like Michael Fattorossi are very important. You are. You are important because you not only do this for a living, but you have to articulate the arguments. You've got to be very good at articulating.
It's standing up for the little guy is what it is.
That's exactly right.
Growing up and you're half
it's
Italian.
It's standing up for individual liberty is really what it is, because we're all the little guy depending on the context. We all have our own quirks, our
sure.
own desires, our own, you know, way of expressing ourselves. And as soon as you have to kowtow to the majority, it's called the tyranny of the majority.
Yeah. And that's going to be interesting about this vote and about this law, whether or not the majority
But Michael, one of the things is that the industry itself does a very good job, better than the general public of keeping sexually transmitted diseases to a minimum. They
mm-hmm.
do. How many AIDS cases in the past 10 years?
One.
In the past 10 years, it was one, and it was one guy who went and did a tranny scene in Brazil.
Exactly.
Okay? That was the one AIDS case in the entire industry of pornography in Los Angeles
yep.
in 10 years. Nobody ever thinks about that. Nobody talks about that. So it seems to me that the industry itself does a very good job of regulating. And you know why?
Because
they're in it. They don't want to catch those diseases.
Well, that's what people don't understand is that here's the point. If you catch chlamydia or gonorrhea as a girl, you just lost $4,000, quite possibly.
Yeah.
So you're going to be very careful.
You're out for at least a week.
Yeah. You're very careful to keep what I call the Ferrari running smoothly, okay? And what people don't realize and what and this is the truth. Once a porn girl's been in the business for a while, she knows when she left the set that she has something. Because it's such a finely tuned engine that if there's anything going on down there, they almost immediately know because they are that aware of their bodies.
Right.
When you use your body for your income, you're going to be in tune with it more so than a girl that goes out to her insurance job during the day, goes out to a bar at night, gets blasted and fucks. She is probably going to carry chlamydia or gonorrhea much further than a girl in the industry because she wants to work. Without a clean test, she doesn't work.
Right. Right. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and that's why we don't have a lot of issues in the industry with this. People are like, oh, porn stars, they're all going to die of HIV, and they're all disease-ridden. I'm like, nope.
It's exactly the
opposite.
Yeah.
Exactly, because, you know, it's they're going to take care of themselves.
It goes back to being a professional, which is so ironic and funny. If you want to succeed in porn, you've got to essentially in some ways have the same values or at least the same work ethic than you would if you wanted to succeed at other things.
Yeah.
That's what's hilarious about it.
I mean, you go out and you do comedy. Are you going to tie one on before you go on stage?
No.
You're not going to sit down.
I have an audience that is expecting a certain thing from my brand.
Exactly.
Exactly. Like if you're Belladonna or whoever, they're expecting a certain thing from their brand. So
yeah.
this has been a really enlightening conversation, man. And it's the first time I've ever spoken
this is
to
just
a lawyer.
Tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, well, I'd love to have you back, man.
I would love to come back.
Because
we get into some really wild, crazy shit.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Give me something that you've had to deal with.
One story that I've had to deal with or one story about the industry?
One story about the industry and maybe a case that you've had to defend that you thought was...
Well, the cases, I can't really talk about cases as a lawyer.
Right.
But I mean, I think it would shock people to realize how many celebrities in this neck of the woods over here, when I refer to the West Side, are very much interested in the porn business in the Valley, and how many of celebrities really interact on a very sexual.
You wouldn't surprise me at all because I know all about that. I got plenty of celebrity friends that have dipped their toe into that sinful pool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, listen, it's because they can.
Charlie Sheen's the only one who's actually really said, hey, I love whores, I love porn stars.
But he's not the only one. Of course he's not,
I know.
Man. I mean, it would shock a lot of people. This is Hollywood.
Exactly.
I mean, everybody's half a slut anyway, more of one.
And how many guy-guy stuff is going on, too? That's, I think, more shocking.
Absolutely.
People are starting to pick up on the Travolta thing now
because
of the masseuse, but that's not anything new.
No. That stuff is all, you know, and it goes back to what we were talking about, man. You know, you can pretend, and sooner or later, it's like the truth just sits there with a fedora and a cigar in his mouth, waiting, because it's going to come out.
Exactly.
And it's the thing that we talked about with marriage. You know, a lot of marriages start on a lie. The two people come to the marriage as a character. I'm a total virgin. I'm totally sweet. I never have sex. You have the biggest dick ever. I don't even like big dicks. You're the first person I've ever even had sex with. And the guy's like, I'm a macho dude. I'm a man. And it's all one big lie because once you get into the nitty gritty of your fucking relationship, it just crumbles.
Mm-hmm.
So on that note, I think, Michael, one of the things that you tend to represent is the truth. I mean, you have to deal with the truth in its essence.
The beautiful thing, and we talked about this before we started, is I have mainstream clients. I don't really like mainstream clients because there is a certain arrogance and an air to them that, you know, I act, I do this, I produce movies. Like, you know, I'm special in this world. And I find that people in the adult industry are truly honest, decent, nice, very humble people, because when you have to strip off your clothes and you have to do something like have sex in front of a camera and do things that 99% of the world would never do in public and on camera.
But they want to watch. Keep going.
But it strips away that level of arrogance.
Yeah.
You can't. I mean, you can't really be a diva as you're wiping the cum off your face.
No, you can't.
You can't be like,
you
know, bring me my green M&Ms.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's my buddy Sam Tripoli, who's a comic. Said,
yeah, he knows a lot of porn stars.
Yeah, and he said the coolest ones are the ones that do the raunchiest scenes.
Yeah,
he
goes, exactly.
Because there's no pretension.
There's no pretension.
They've been stripped bare, and they're kind of like, here I am. And there's got to be something liberating about the fact that you're just walking around and you're, this is the truth. This is who I am. I'm a bad girl. I'm a bad boy. And because most of us
and
spend a lot of
And it's liberating for lawyers, too.
Well, sure. A lot of us spend a great deal of energy hiding not only the fact that who we are, but basically speaking to the opposite of what's actually going on in our minds.
Exactly. How many politicians? How many, you know, you find the guy up in the bathroom stall with a wide stance and he's anti-gay.
Exactly.
You know?
Happens all the time. Well, and Michael Federosi, thanks for joining the Man Talk with Brian Callen.
Man Talk.
And by the way, you're the first guest on my new podcast called Man Talk, and it's been amazing. But I got to get you back because you're a fascinating guy.
All right, I'll bring porn stars with me next time.
Oh, will you do that?
Oh, dude, absolutely.
Oh, good.
Absolutely.
Oh, good.
You tell me who you want, and I'll bring them back.
Oh, good. We'll do it in the studio, and we'll rock and roll.
Absolutely.
That would be fantastic. I'd love to. I love my job. Once again, I'm going to be at the where am I going to be? I'm going to be at the West Palm Beach Improv August 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th. That's this Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then I'll be at the Schaumburg Improv in Chicago. Come and get some, baby. August 22nd, 23rd, 24th, 25th, I believe. And that should be fun. So thanks a lot for listening, man. And more to come. Later.